Sony has abandoned its plan to bring PlayStation single-player games to PC. Plus, the Library of Congress has recognized a game soundtrack into the National Recording Registry. Tonight is May 24th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Wow, I can't even say 2026. What is going on? I don't know. And this is not Hogwash 500. We've done this more than 500 times. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition, a Memorial Day weekend edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with us directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But I will not be here next week, so there will be no show on May 31st. I'm going to a concert, another concert. I was at a concert last night. This is the month of concerts for me. I think I've been to more, I'm going to more concerts in the month of May of 2026 than I have the past three or four years combined. It's amazing. So, I'm going to a concert, next Sunday night, so I will not be here. So you'll just get Orange Zone Radio 2DX, which returns tonight after being off last week. We had some great marbles races last week, but Orange Zone Radio 2DX returns tonight, and we'll be here next Sunday to hold down the fort. They will get to go on time, be on the air on time for once, which is not something I usually let them do. They're usually 5 to 10 minutes late, and that's my fault. So, but this is a podcast. I know the podcast feed, things have been kind of wonky for a bit, working on it behind the scenes, and we'll get things updated as soon as I can, but I can't guarantee much. But if you're hearing this, at least you're getting to this part on the podcast. One thing to note, if you do want to hear the unedited version of the show, we are on Twitch. We do tape the show on Twitch. You can listen to just the audio. I don't do much with video. I know there's a lot of people that hate how podcasts have pivoted to video, and I try not to use the video as much or make it so I'm, doing. I'm always, I don't even see myself really. I have that window covered up. But, this is video, and you can actually go to the archives on Twitch for 2 weeks. And you can watch the unedited version of this podcast that still has all the long pauses, the tech difficulties when the camera breaks like it did. You can watch those for 2 weeks and then they're gone. We used to have it subscribers only. You had to subscribe to our Twitch channel. But then Twitch said you can only have 100 hours total. And so we're like, well, then we're not going to archive the shows there anymore. So there was no reason to keep that behind a paywall. So you're welcome. But if you want to support the network financially, help us kind of just, keep the lights on, which is all we do. We don't make money off this. But we do like not having to put out our own money for this. You can subscribe or send us bits on twitch.televisions. But you don't have to. You being here is all we ask for. So we do have a Discord server that is also not paywalled. VogNetwork.com/Discord is how you can get into that and suggest things you may want us to talk about on future shows or talk back about things that we talked about in the past. And Pod Culture says today was the Indy 500. So let it be known that Pod Culture was the first one to bring in a sports reference. Let it be known that I did not make the first sports reference of the night. Pod Culture did. So as long as we all know that and we all recognize that, then we're all good. So this is a good night that Pod Culture makes the first sports reference of the night and not me and not SSJ100 Matt in our chat room and, not any of the other people. I have on the little ticker thing, and I just, my little rant here on this is it's finally summer, And it really sucks that, like, the neighborhood pool opens up and, like, we haven't gotten any rain for, like, months. Like, it's been dry here. We've actually been in a drought. It actually hasn't been good for the ecosystem here. But then the minute the neighborhood pool opens, we have, like, thunderstorms all, like, we've had them, like, all week. And then it's continuing for, like, the next 3 weeks. And it's like, you know, no good pool time for me. And right now it's going to be fine. Like, we've actually had, like, booming thunder, like, a couple, like, an hour or so ago. So we should be fine. The show should be fine. I don't, you know, the power shouldn't flicker during the show. But it might. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen here in the South. Thunderstorms pop up all the time, and they, you know, do things that are very unpredictable. So let's get into the news and not talk about the weather. And the first thing I wanted to talk about, this actually happened last week, and I forgot. But I wanted to share because this is actually kind of a big deal for something that I'm into, which is game soundtracks. And you know, I've always been a fan of game music back in the day, as well as today, and just all the amazing talent that we have around us and how it's getting more and more recognized by the greater, you know, music industry as a whole. And this is talking about the Library of Congress and the National Recording Registry. So every year, the Library of Congress inducts multiple pieces of music, usually like albums. And they induct it in kind of, it's kind of like a Hall of Fame, but not really. It's more just like a national registry. Like, these are the things that make American music. These are the things that make up American music. And it's like, they're inducting recordings from the early 1900s to ones that were made 5 years ago. So this year they brought out their, they announced their inductees, and I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm going to go through one of them. I'm actually going to go through a second one that has nothing to do with game music, but it's about, you know, educating y'all. But the one I want to talk about is actually very relevant to us, and Gadget reports that the Library of Congress is preserving a little piece of hell by inducting the soundtrack to the original Doom into the National Recording Registry. The album of demon-slaying tracks is joined by several other notable 2026 additions to the registry, like Weezer's self-titled debut album, The Blue Album, Taylor Swift's 1989, Beyoncé's single Ladies Put a Ring on It, and the original Mambo No. 5, which is not the Carlos Bella or whatever, the 1999 remix of it, the original Mambo No. 5 from the 50s. Doom was created by a fellow Bobby, Bobby Prince, a freelance composer who worked on lots of id Software games and also scored Doom's 90s rival Duke Nukem 3D. The soundtrack draws clear inspiration from metal bands, but also touches on techno and ambient music throughout its track list, making for an eclectic soundscape for tearing through enemies. That all fits together, is all impressive in its own right. All the music for Doom was written before the game had completed levels to play through, according to Prince. Library of Congress wrote, quote, "Despite the limitations of the 1993-era sound card drivers, Prince composed the perfect riff-shredding accompaniment for the game's demon-slaying journey to hell and back. Taking advantage of his knowledge of MIDI, Prince even worked to ensure that the sound effects he created could cut through the music by assigning them to different MIDI frequencies," unquote. So it's also a technological marvel what he was able to do with it. With the Doom soundtrack and other 2026 inductees included, the National Recording Registry now includes 700 titles spanning multiple genres and formats. Zenmug 11 says, "Doom had a soundtrack? I thought it was just monsters screaming. I am positive you have heard E1M1. I am absolutely positive you have heard E1M1 in some point. E1M1 is episode 1, map 1. It is pretty much a very iconic riff. And it is, when people think of Doom, that's what they think of. Like, it's not even close. Like, I'm even gonna risk a little bit. I'm gonna talk over it. But like, yes, you have absolutely heard this before. You have heard this before. I promise you, this is E1M1. This is inducted into the Library of Congress. I promise you. You have heard that this is iconic, and I am continuing to talk about it over it so we don't get a copyright strike. So, Yeah, you absolutely have heard the opening riff before of that. Questbuster says, congrats to Bobby Prince. He also did the tracks for Doom 2, among many others. The opening riff is so iconic. Dark Tatsuya says it's one of the horns in Forza Horizon 6, because just unlocked it. Yes, because now Microsoft owns Doom as part of the Bethesda purchase, which purchased id Software. Yeah. So you absolutely have heard it. It is very iconic. It was groundbreaking in the score of game music, it was a big deal at the time, and everybody knew E1M1. You probably didn't recognize many of the others, but everybody knew E1M1. So, congrats to them. Now, they listed a couple of the others that were on here. There was another song, and this is not about video games, but it is about, like, you know, music production and stuff. And also, I do want to mention something. Tech Claw says, hopefully this means more video game music will eventually get in the registry. And that's, yes. But one thing to know, because people are going to start speculating, they're like, oh, Final Fantasy should be in the registry, and, you know, this soundtrack should be. This is literally about American composers. So, no. Final Fantasy is not getting inducted in the Library of Congress National Recording Registry because it's from Japan. Soundtracks that are made in Canada are not going to get inducted into the registry. So it has to be an American composer that puts out the sound, that puts it out, because it is about Americans. It's the Library of Congress. It's supposed to be. I mean, this is not a worldwide recording registry. This is the national for the U.S. So before everybody's like, oh, I, you know, start throwing out all your favorite Japanese composers, saying that, you know, it should be inducted into the registry, it's not going to happen. But Bobby Prince is American, so that's why it was able to get inducted. So the one of the other ones that was inducted into the registry, and this is kind of more music history and more music knowledge, but it's about technology and music. And it's something that you have never heard, or you probably haven't heard of. If you're a music nerd, you know exactly what I'm going to be talking about. But if you're not a music nerd, you're going to be like, I have never heard of this song. I have never heard of this band. And you would be correct. You haven't. But it is another one of those you have absolutely heard why it's in. And it's a track called Amen Brother. And it is by The Winstons. And this was in, like, 1969. I don't have it all in front of me. I'm doing this all from memory, basically. And it was inducted into the National Recording Registry. And you're going to be like, I have no clue who that is. And unlike Doom E1M1, I am not surprised that you don't know what Amen Brother is. So it's actually something really, really interesting. It is Amen Brother has one, like, 6-second section that you have heard multiple times, but cut up in different ways. And it's called the Amen Break. And it is a drum breakdown. It's about four measures long. And it was found by a hip hop producer in the 1980s because it was a B-side. So it wasn't even like the main single that the Winstons were putting out. It was the B-side. And one hip hop producer, I think like in the late 70s, early 80s, decided to cut up that one drum solo and basically make it the backbone of the track. And then other people did it. And it is actually the most sampled piece of music in recorded history. And it is the Amen Break. And so if you like followed, like, especially early, like, jungle music, which is a subset of EDM, you've absolutely heard it. But also, like, other things. The theme song from Futurama uses the drum samples. Now, it changes the actual, it's not playing the same rhythm, but they took the bass drum and the snare and the hi-hat and they rearranged it. The Futurama soundtrack, the theme song has it. The Powerpuff Girls theme song uses the Amen Break. So those are the ones that you have heard this break. And I'm not actually going to play it for you, but I will also mention that I actually used it. So while back here on VOG, and now I'm like vamping while I like search my hard drive for this. While back on VOG, we actually had kind of like a little theme song. And this theme song was one that we put like behind, behind some, like when we were like, oh, we're going live, and it was something. It used, I actually rewrote the Amen break into it. I'm actually going to play you the, what I kind of like was not the Vogue theme song, but like something I wrote to put behind Vogue stuff. And this is the actual, like, so this is an 8-bit version of the Amen break you're going to hear at the very beginning. And I put it in specifically, and this is actually, so I'm not actually using the samples, but I'm actually using the drum break. And this is... That's the break. And then this is under it. So this was the, that was the song I wrote for Vogue like a long time ago. Orange Ride says Powerpuff Girl was Funky Drummer, also a very sampled drum break. But was Funky Drummer part, like, did they take Amen Brother for that? So, yeah, Tiger Claw also, because Tiger Claw and Orange Ride know what I'm talking about. And, you know, Orange Ride's correcting me, which is why I have a live chat room, because sometimes I remember things incorrectly, and that's what chat is for. Tiger Claw says drum solo was used not just in hip-hop, but in all kinds of genres, be it techno, drum and bass, house music, you name it. Jungle was another one that's in there. So, yeah, so that got inducted into the National Recording Registry, the original song. Now, how much money have the Winstons made for being one of the most sampled artists of all time? Zero. In fact, I think the drummer, like, died in poverty. Or if he's still alive, he's in poverty. They're not doing well. Because there was no royalties for sampling. And, yeah. Fun stuff. So, anyway, congratulations to Doom for being in the National Recording Registry. Hope Bobby Prince is doing well. Because, like, he kind of left the industry, I think, in the 90s. And now he's just, like, he'll, like, just bank on the nostalgia. So let's move on to some other news that I was very excited about this week, and I also want to, like, there's a part of this that I've talked about this before, but then I hear the same complaints every single time I talk about this, and I'm going to talk about Pinball, because this week we got the summer release for Stern Pinball, and this is another, it's another nostalgia bait for kids of the 80s. You know, that's basically Stern knows who their audience is. And, it is Transformers. So, this is more than meets the eye. So Stern's new release is Transformers. It is currently, shipping now. They usually don't do their announcement until, it's ready to be in arcades, because, they don't benefit that much from, you know, hype and, like, it not being around. But they're making a new pinball table, pinball machine based around Transformers. They do have Frank Welker doing call outs on it. They got new stuff in there. There's a Megatron. There's an Optimus Prime. They do not transform, which upsets a lot of people. Even on the most expensive version, they don't transform. But they've got new animations, but also it's got throwback animations. It's really cool. It's for the, like, I think the 40th anniversary of Transformers. So Greg Berger comes back for Grimlock. Dark Soccer is also helping. This is why I have a live chat room. The Pop Insider reports that Stern Pinball is joining forces with Hasbro to roll out a new Transformers pinball game. In Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, players team up with the Autobots to stop Megatron and the Decepticons from stealing Earth's energy, conquering Cybertron, and taking control of the universe. Players can store Energon cubes to power up, team up with the Dinobots, collect Transformers tech spec cards, and more, inspired by the 1984 Transformers animated TV series. It also includes a special mode featuring the song The Touch by Stan Bush, custom callouts from Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime, and Frank Welker, Megatron and Soundwave, and the original music from Knights of Unicron to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Transformers, the movie. So I could sit here and tell you how much it costs. And this is what I want to, because I don't talk about this enough on the show. Because I will sit there, and I actually didn't even write down what they cost, but it's thousands and thousands of dollars for these, for these pinball machines. And everybody's like, why are they so greedy, blah, blah, blah. And you got to realize something. They expect that the vast majority of people that are going to play this game are going to go to one of those third spaces that exist out there, or we're trying to get to exist out there. Arcades are coming back, but breweries, and you don't have to drink beer to go play pinball at a brewery, but breweries or, you know, other restaurants will have these machines. There is a pinball map. There is a pinball locator that you can find around you. Just because you don't have the $8,000 to put this in your house does not mean you're not going to get to play this. So a lot of people are very upset at how much the each edition costs. There's three versions, the Pro, Premium, and Limited Edition. The Pro version is what you will find in bars and maybe a pinball arcade near you or something, someplace that has pinball machines. Like here in Atlanta, there's a place that's a comic book shop up on the main floor, and then you go down, and there's pinball cabinets and stuff. So they expect you to actually just pay the $1 for a play. They don't expect everybody to put $8,000 down to get one of these in their home. And whenever I mention one of these, there is somebody that comments that's like, that's way too expensive. I could never have that. I'm like, no, you're not. It's not for you. I think it's pinballmap.com is the actual site, but you could actually put in your zip code. You don't have to give them access to your location. Put in your zip code, and you can even put in what machine you're looking for, and it will tell you where you could go somewhere to pay a dollar or, you know, per play, or maybe pay per hour to play these games. And you don't have to spend the $8,000 on it. So, and it's ZenMonkey 11 said nostalgia is expensive. Yes, nostalgia is expensive, but just in general, pinball is expensive. And that's why you go to an arcade to play pinball. Not everybody can, you know, spend the money and have the room in their house and have all the you know, have try to fix up because they do break. There's a lot of moving parts on them. These pinball machines in their house. Yeah, Fifth Dream says there's 12,437 locations and 53,243 machines. The map was last updated 3 minutes ago. So there are places around, even if you live somewhere where you don't think there's pinball, someplace near you has a pinball. And you don't need to spend the $8,000. And Stern is not the only company making pinball today. There are other companies that are making pinball. Pinball has dug itself out of its grave, according what to, I believe it was Dark Soccer that said that. Dark Soccer. I'm glad pinball dug itself out of the grave. It did. And it's bringing back the third place, the third space. We talked about this a couple weeks ago where, there's a concept called a third space, where your first space is your home and your second space is either work or school, wherever you go. And in the past, we always had this third space where we would go to be with other people that wasn't either home or work or school, which I know there's probably people out there like, I don't want to be around people. I am just fine having just my one space. And that's fine. I hope that's working out for you as well as it can, because I know there's many reasons for that. But we used to have third spaces, like when I was growing up, and an arcade was that, or I went to mini golf places, or I just went to the mall. Now we don't have most of those places. And if you try to go to a mall as a teenager without parental supervision, Paul Blart comes up on a Segway and kicks you out. So we lost the third space starting about 20 years ago. And that is where you used to play pinball and arcade games, was in that third space. And we're trying to get that back. A lot of pinball collectors are opening up their own pinball arcades to get that back. And that is where you will find Transformers. You don't need to spend $8,000 to get it in your home. Same with Pokemon. You can just use that pinball locator. And I'm going to check. I'm going to make sure now that the video stopped playing, I can look for pinball and make sure it is pinball map. Yeah, pinballmap.com. I've got it right. So you can explore the map and you can put in your location. And even if you just put in your location, it will show you everywhere that has pinball and what machines they have. And you can also say, I am looking for this machine who has it near me. So you can find them. They are out there. That's all I can say on that. So, yes, I'm not going to tell you how much these machines cost to own in your home, because if you're going to own a pinball machine in your home, you know how much they cost. And if you don't own a pinball machine in your home, you get sticker shock and you are like, I don't understand why they have to cost so much. Don't, you know, look at this economy, look at, the, you know, all this stuff. Like my, I don't make enough. I'm like, you're right. You don't. Business owners should be buying these and charging you a dollar per play. Questbuster says, I remember that one of my local arcades has a special section of pinball machines way back, and those tables were absolutely not cheap for the arcade owner to have, much less maintain. But for me and my quarters, they were a lot of fun. So anyway, Transformers is coming out from Stern Pinball. If you go to another place you can go to is if you're going to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo down here in the Southeast, which is the last weekend of July, beginning of August, because FIFA has pushed out all the nerd conventions that used to be in the summer in the area. You'd be able to play it and Pokemon there, but also if you're on the West Coast, I don't know exactly when California Extreme is, but I bet you're going to be able to find it at California Extreme. One day I will get to California Extreme. One day I will make the trek to California Extreme. But there are other, anime conventions and stuff have started bringing in, an arcade section with pinball. MomoCon was this weekend. I didn't go, but I know that they had pinball there. I don't know if they had the Pokemon pinball game there, but I wouldn't be surprised. Dragon Con has pinball and arcade. They actually have two arcades at Dragon Con. So, you're finding a lot more of this coming to these gaming conventions that are all around the country, not just the big ones. Golden State Pinball was last weekend, if you're out there. Dark Sakura says. So yeah, and there's Pinburg up in Pittsburgh. Like there are also other like pinball conventions all around the country. If you really want to go for a day and you try it out and see all the games there, you don't have to buy them. Like I've never bought a game at one of these things, but I have seen what I may want to buy because I do collect them. So That's my rant on that and the price of pinball, and that, most people aren't going to be buying the actual pinball table. Stern would absolutely love it if people bought the $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 version of the table, but it's really for business owners. And if a business owner near you has a table you like, purchase food or a drink. It does not have to be an alcoholic drink, even if it's a brewery. You had to try to support the business, support that local business, support that business that's giving you that third space, because we need third spaces back as a society. And even if it's not revolving around arcades or anything like that, an escape room sometimes is some people's third space. Coffee shops are people's third space, but like activities, we're starting to see more activities, not just pinball, but like, axe throwing. Came out of the same concept. Escape rooms came out of the same concept. There's a place that opened up near us that is now like a game show. It's a 1-hour game show that you and like 10 of your friends can do, and it's like Family Feud. It opened up near us. So, So that support the third spaces in your community. I guess that's the main thing I wanted to say. So let's get back into talking about video games, because we're going off the rails. People are starting to talk about Babylon 5 for whatever reason, which is a great show, but not really relevant to what we're talking about. But what is relevant is what Sony talked about this week and what came out here. Well, actually, Sony didn't really talk about it. This is Jason Schreier, one of the last actual game journalists in the industry, working for Bloomberg, kind of uncovered this because Jason Schreier just does those type of things. And we don't have many of those left. We've chased them all out of the industry, or just chased them out of the media altogether, because the definition of media has changed in general, not just in gaming. But Video Games Chronicle reports that PlayStation boss Herman Holst told staff this week that PlayStation's single-player games will no longer come to PC, it's claimed. Earlier this year, Bloomberg, citing people familiar with Sony's plans, claimed that the company was pulling back from its plan to release its upcoming games on PC, with future single-player games set to become PS5 exclusives. The report claimed that while Ghost of Tsushima eventually got a PC port a few years after its release on PlayStation consoles, its sequel, Ghost of Yotoi, won't be coming to PC after plans for a port were scrapped earlier this year. Now, in a new post on social media, Bloomberg reporter Jason Schreier claims that PlayStation Studio CEO Herman Holst told staff this week that single-player titles from PlayStation, such as Ghost of Yotoi, Saros, and Marvel's Wolverine, would remain console-exclusive. In the original report from March, Bloomberg claimed that multiplayer titles like Marathon will still release on multiple platforms, but it appears that Sony's cadence of releasing titles such as Spider-Man, The Last of Us, and Horizon on PC several months or years after the original release is over. While PC players celebrated Sony's move to bring more of its titles to PC, the delayed release schedule and often undercooked ports meant the PC versions of some PlayStation titles sold shockingly few copies. According to Bloomberg, quote, a faction within PlayStation has also expressed concern that releasing their game on PC risks damaging the console's brand and will hurt sales of the PlayStation 5 and its successors, according to people familiar with Sony's inner workings, unquote. And it's Yotei, not Yotoi. I got Gunpei in my mind, I guess, when I was reading this. So Ghost of Yotei. I've very rarely heard it. I don't watch the Sony State of Plays all that often, so I haven't heard it said. Yeah, and Mike Dev says it's pretty much the meme with the guy on a bicycle trampling on himself and blaming others for it. So this was a very celebrated move because, you know, having your games on more things is great, right? And, you know, a lot of people were very upset at exclusives. Exclusives were bad, and they were like, I want to play the game wherever I'm at. And Xbox said, sure. And then PlayStation said, sure. And PlayStation's like, wait a minute. Now we don't need to do that. As Jeremy Matt says, I enjoyed being able to get the Spider-Man games and Horizon Zero Dawn on Steam because I had no interest in getting a PS5, so I guess I was part of a problem. A lot of people don't have an interest in getting a PS5 right now, and it's because it costs more now. I also want to mention, just in case like you didn't hear when I talked about this a couple weeks ago, because the PS5 did get a price jump, and everybody's like, wow, Sony's so greedy. And I'm like, no. The companies that make memory and storage got greedy and passed the savings to Sony, who passed the savings on to the consumer. Yeah, you're right. Sony is greedy. They don't want to lose money on every PS5 they manufacture, so they're going to raise the price. So we're living in a world where consoles are getting more expensive the longer it is, then less expensive. And that is totally due to the AI infrastructure rollout. It's the reason that it happens. It's also why you're like, oh, I'll just go build a PC. Well, guess what? You're going to spend a lot more building a PC today than you would have just a year ago. So it is everywhere. It's going to hurt. It's hurting people who are making PCs too. I think like the same stick of RAM that was $100 last year, the exact same stick is like $500 or $600 now. So yeah. That's why all the consoles like Xbox, PlayStation, Switch 2, the Steam machine's not even out yet because they probably had the Steam machine at a certain price that they can't make it for that price anymore. So that's why they halted on the Steam machine, because the Steam machine was supposed to have been out by now. Yeah, it's because of the AI infrastructure rollout. It's not about any tariffs. That's really not what it's about. That's not what's causing it. Last year at this time it was, but this year at this time it's not. It's literally about the price of memory and the price of storage. Two things that you need in a game console. And remember, a couple years ago, getting a GPU was terrible because all the crypto bros were using GPUs to mine for Bitcoin. And now, actually, like, people are using GPUs to run their LLMs and do machine learning, because you can reprogram the GPU to do things. It doesn't just have to push graphics. So that's what's going on there. And ZenMug11 says it's probably for the best, talking about Sony pulling away from the PC market. The PC community is wild now with hackers and cheaters. Now realize that they're literally only pulling the single-player games away. They are still bringing their live service games to PC. So the ones that the hackers and cheaters are actually going to affect you on, those games will still be on PC. The only ones they're pulling away from PC are the ones where it really doesn't matter if someone cheats at the game, because they're single player games. So this is not in response to like any hackers or cheaters or anything. It's just, you know, if you want to play these great single player experiences that PlayStation Studios is known for, you got to get a PlayStation. You got to get a PS5, which is how things were for decades. And there was a brief window where that was kind of crumbling and like, you know, Xbox games were coming to PlayStation and PlayStation games were coming to PC and it was all great. And we were all like, this is great. Now, you know, it's great for the consumer. But it wasn't great for business. And ultimately, this is not a consumer. This is a business. I guess the people who wanted exclusives to force you to buy their product to play the game, those voices won. To be fair, I believe Xbox is also kind of saying the same thing. I believe that's one of the things Asha Parma is talking about. We haven't gotten a confirmation about it yet. But I believe that's one of the things that Xbox is going to do is they're going to kind of curtail and pull back some of the things they're going to do on PlayStation. So, you know, yes, Forza Horizon 6 is coming to PlayStation 5 sometime this year. But I don't know how many more Xbox Game Studios titles will be making that jump. Hope you enjoyed the single-player games you had and, you know, played them on your Steam Deck, because now you're going to need a PlayStation Portal if you want to play them handheld, at least the ones in the future. So we are going to take a quick music break. I actually, you know, sped through the stories. It was kind of good. We are going to take a quick music break, and then we will I'll see if anybody's in the green room, but then we'll also talk to OLR2DX about something, whatever. I don't know. We haven't figured out. We don't know what we're going to talk about until the call goes live. That's kind of, you know, a little behind the scenes how this works. So, yeah, we're going to be back right after this music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Basta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
You're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
That's a callback from MomoCon, actually. So MomoCon was a big anime convention here in Atlanta, anime and gaming convention. I've gone several times. I did not go this week, so I was not there this weekend. It just ended, and I know a lot of people that went. I just didn't have a way in. That wasn't just normal, and I don't usually go to that convention unless I'm actually working or being on a panel or something. Maybe next year. We'll see. But I was not able to go this year. But that interview was back when MomoCon allowed me in as press, which they don't anymore. But they allowed me in as press, and I interviewed Jennifer Hale from Mass Effect and many other things. Star Wars The Old Republic, the MMO, and many, many other things. Got to interview her, and she did that bumper for me. That was a while ago. But thank you so much. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be a voice actor. All you got to do is say your name, something without any background music in, and I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it. And saying that you're coming back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. So and then contact me on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. To be able to send it to me, and I'll tell you how to get it to me. We started talking a little bit about Forza Horizon 6, and I wanted to talk about this for a little bit because people have been playing it. People in our community have been playing it. It is on Game Pass, so if you do still have Game Pass, you can actually play it without having to buy any version of it. Right now, there is no advantage to buying the premium version, the per version that I bought that allowed me to play 3 days early, and it gets me the expansions. You absolutely don't need it right now. All it gets you now is a little bit of an XP boost, and it's like free cars. And that's it. But you can get cars easily in the game enough. So there's really no, at this point, I don't think there is any good reason to buy the $120 premium version. I would say, you know, just try it on Game Pass and see if you like it. There was some talk on it, because I was one of the things I talked about right before, during the music break part that you don't hear on the podcast is, you know, that I'm close to Legend Island, which is kind of like the final area of the game. And I'm close to that, and people were talking about where they were. And, you know, some people, Mike Deft is focusing on discovering all the roads, getting all the boards and mascots, because Every time he logs in, he sees that I have surpassed him, and he takes that personally. Well, that sounds like a skill issue to me, Mike Deft. So, Dark Tetsuya only has the blue wristband. Wristband's how it denotes how far you go into the game. Working on the next one, but I'm hating all these off-road events. And the off-road events, it's one of the harder parts of Forza Horizon 6, because even though there's difficulty levels and the drivatars are supposed to scale to your difficulty, for whatever reason, the drivatars are way better in off-road events than they are in the road events or cross-country events, and I don't know what it is. So even I have to scale back the difficulty when I'm doing off-road events and then put it back up for the other events, because I don't need to. I actually normally play on average difficulty is what I normally play on. And I have to, like, turn it down to novice difficulty, which is, I think, like, the third difficulty level up. I think there's, like, two below novice. And I have to switch down to that, and then I switch it back up to average for the other stuff. The off-road races, I hate them. Luckily, you can actually still progress even without doing all the races. There's other ways to do it, and I think there's even an accessibility setting that allows you to progress no matter how you place. It kind of speeds you. It kind of sets you going along even if you can't beat get in first place to get the extra horizon points or whatever they call them in the game. So there's actually a setting in the accessibility that allows for more consistent progression if you need it. So, if you're having trouble, maybe look into that so you can get to the new stuff. Also people are talking about it's very hard to drift. I don't like drifting either. Like, I'm not a big fan of the drifting. You can always find tunes, and that's not music, but it's like you can find tuning setups, which include where somebody else has gone through all the car customization and bought the different wheels and the stuff, and then like did all the numbers. You can download that so you don't have to deal with any of that stuff, and you can download those, and those make things a little bit easier. So, there's ways around it. Yeah, and if you're not out of control, you're not in control. That's what any drift expert would tell you. I am not a drift expert, so I'm not going to tell you that, but that's what I hear. Podcoach says, I haven't even touched the garage customization. I haven't, there's the big thing Forza Horizon added, and I talked about this last week, is that they added all these customization for, your estate, which is, this big block of land that you can just do whatever. You can make a racetrack or whatever, and your garage. And I haven't done any of that. I did go into the garage editor because they have googly eyes, so I put googly eyes on, one wall looking at my cars, and that's it. That's all I've done. And you can't have a beard in the game. Can't draw a beard on yourself. It's not Tamagotchi Live where you can draw on your face. Apparently, though, if you go online, you'll see, and you go to the wrong places of the internet, get in touch with you, usually through the Zuckerberg algorithm. And you will find that there's a whole bunch of people review bombing because you can have they/them pronouns in the game, and they just refund it out the gate when instead of just selecting he/him and moving on with your life. But apparently, that is a deal breaker, and that they apparently that people are talking about how they must have spent thousands of hours on that when they could have improved something else. So there's a lot of, despite that, it sold 4.9 million copies. So apparently it's doing just fine. So there's a lot of people that are very upset that you can have they/them pronouns, but you can't have a beard in the game. Sad people, poor snowflakes, and everybody in the comment section made the exact same joke. Well, if you get a they/them pronoun, you're restricted to only driving Subarus. Hoo, boo, hoo, hoo. Yeah, because they only have one joke. We all know how that is. So I'm still enjoying Forza Horizon 6. I'm almost to Legend Island, which is the last little area of the game. It's an area that's actually blocked off. It's in the southeast corner of the map, and you can't get there until you get all the wristbands. I'm enjoying doing the races. As Jeremy Matt says, on PC, there are some mods. One lets you have Spotify as a radio station, but there's always a risk installing something like that. And so here's the thing. is, like, I guess Spotify, like, maybe the way that they did it, half of the charm is the DJ actually talking about the game, which I talked about last week. I listened to Horizon Pulse. They actually have the same voice actor, voice actress, who's played that same character since, like, Forza Horizon 2 on the same radio station. It's Horizon Pulse. Amy Simpson is the character's name, and I think, like, Susanna something is the voice actor's name. And she actually, like, references the previous games and stuff, but she also kind of narrates your journey as you're going through, as if she, you know, she's talking about, you know, you're making news and she's talking about the news. And, you know, that's part of it to me. So, like, turning off the radio and playing a Spotify playlist, you know, kind of defeats the purpose and of that aspect. That's one of the immersive aspects I like about it. And I don't mind the music that's in there. SJR Namat says, I miss custom soundtracks. And that's, well, you know, a feature that was on the original Xbox and the Xbox 360, I believe. But the original Xbox is where I remember, because Project Gotham Racing allowed you to have the custom soundtracks with the DJ still there. So instead of the DJ introducing the tracks that were part of the game, they had more generic DJ things that would introduce the tracks off your hard drive. And that was, like, the neatest feature to me in, like, 2001. And we got rid of that feature. We didn't need it anymore, starting in the PS4 era. Because that feature was used even, like, on PlayStation games. It was used, like, even in, like, and so, yes, pod culture broke the sports barrier at the beginning of the show, so I can mention it now. But, like, games like MLB The Show, you could actually upload a song and have it be, use it as your walk-up music if you're creating your own player. Can't do that. Once you got to the PS4 and PS5, you couldn't do that anymore. I think the PS5. I think it worked on the PS4, but you couldn't do it on the PS5. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Sound Radio 2DX. It is three people that talk about much more than just games, and they talk about much more than what I have been talking about. And we like to check in with them to see what is going on in their world. And we are waiting. I'm waiting for Discord to be nice here. It takes a little bit. OLR, are you there?
Yeah. Mostly.
Mostly? What do you mean mostly?
I had surgery the week before last, yeah. So that's why we weren't here. Mm-hmm. And so I left a little piece of me with the doctor. Mm-hmm. Seriously, though, I'm still recovering. Mm-hmm. It was probably a little ambitious for me to attempt today, but yeah. You know what? I have a duty. A duty!
Yeah. Well, if you always take the time you need. I rushed back from a medical thing a couple years ago, and I probably shouldn't have. I still haven't even mentioned what that was, but yeah, it's hard to stay away. Like, you know, this is something that we're all used to on Sunday night. So I didn't want to stay away any longer than I wanted to.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, that's why I actually figured out a way to get my VTuber up. Mm-hmm. Just because I can't really do makeup. Mm-hmm. It's hard to comb my hair. I'm right-handed. Mm-hmm. And y'all get VTuber Jamie.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to mention, because, you know, we have VTuber Jamie, and for those on Twitch, you're seeing VTuber Jamie here on the show. MomoCon did something so MomoCon is our local anime convention. It's actually a big anime convention here in the area. And they did something really interesting because they have a whole streamer zone. But they had a VTuber meetup where you could meet VTubers, but they actually used, like, projectors. And so even though the VTuber was there, you were interacting with them on a screen and they could see you and talk to you and stuff. But that way people could meet their favorite VTubers without having to meet the flesh tuber.
Huh. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's a good way for the people who rely on their anonymity mm-hmm. to remain so. I have met a few of my fellow Dead by Daylight streamers mm-hmm. who are VTubers, but I got to meet them face to face. And while I think that that's special and a very good sign of trust, it's if you're meeting a lot of people, having a setup like that is, especially if you've got a big following, having a setup like that is a lot safer.
Yeah, it looked like it was more of a meet and greet setup is kind of what they were what they were going with. So I thought that was interesting. I didn't get to go myself and see it myself, but I saw other people posting about it. And it was a very neat idea.
Yeah, I enjoy something. I would do something like that if I could, if I was big enough. Yeah. But it's a fun idea, you know. I mean, there's that sort of dystopian thought that eventually we're all going to live in little cubicles and be virtual avatars, and you know. But we'll leave that one aside. We'll leave that for the novels and the young adult movies.
Yeah, that's a next year problem. That's a 2027 problem. So you actually said in chat something about the Transformers pinball machine.
I did.
What was that?
We put down the $500 non-refundable down payment on it.
Which version, pro, premium, or limited?
We're getting the pro.
Pro?
So yeah, I mean, I would prefer the limited. I mean, if I had the money for it, sure.
Yeah.
But you know, we know people. We have a very big group of pinball friends and others who are going to be getting the premium. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'll eventually get to trade around for it and borrow friends if I really wanted that. Mm-hmm. So, because that's the good thing about a tight pinball community.
Yeah.
Of collectors. Mm-hmm. But I heard he had been a guest on the show a while back, but Greg Berger. Mm-hmm. When I heard Grimlock, I was like, that's Greg. And I double checked and it's Greg. I was very happy. And they got everybody who was still alive to get.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was extremely happy because my thought had been that they were going to do Transformers the movie as the table when all the rumors were floating around.
Yeah.
And while I get why they went with what they did, I like that there is the nod to the movie and to my favorite Rodimus or Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Mr. Judd Nelson voice acting. And then we were thinking about it. It was like, how many people who were in the movie are still around? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess quite a few, but I mean, I think it's easier to do something with clips from the show for the likes of, say, Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Who's no longer with us, or Scatman Crothers.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it'll be good. It looks really good. I mean, Optimus Prime looks really front heavy, but I understand why.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the ball locks, but he was supposed to transform.
Right.
There had been a prototype that showed that happening, but I guess it was going to be far too difficult to accomplish. Yeah.
And the maintenance on that would just not be fun.
Well, you know, modder's going to mod. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, we've modded a few tables ourselves. Like, we put the Dead World mod. Mm-hmm. On Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that took the I never did this because I didn't mod my games to do this, but the Mandalorian machine, people actually took out because the Grogu that is in the Mandalorian machine is just it's a statue. But people took the like there is like an animatronic Grogu that Hasbro, I don't know if Hasbro, but somebody came out with. I actually have it. They put that in and actually like reprogrammed it to react to the game. And so you have the moving Grogu inside the machine because it's about almost the same size as the statue that's in. But even the premium and limited editions of Mandalorian, the Grogu statue doesn't move. And so a lot of people modded to put in one of these animatronic Grogus into there.
Yeah. I was thinking of finding someone to 3D print a Coronation Starscream for me, like a little tiny one, just so I could hide them somewhere on the playfield.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like, though, taking it and making it your own, as long as, I mean, I would like to be able to put it back to pristine, but with some, I mean, once they get old enough, like going back to the Judge Dredd, I don't think there's any problem with modifying it. And there's people who still like, you know, they released Cactus Canyon, but there's still people who want that incomplete Cactus Canyon continued.
Yeah.
Which has the best mode, Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yep. Zemeki 11 says, "Oh, we mean you mean the cartoon movie? Thought the live action movies? No, this is specifically the 40-year anniversary of the Transformers the movie, the cartoon that traumatized a generation."
Now, when I talk about Transformers the movie and say it like that, I am always referring to the only Transformers the movie,
yes,
and not the live action Transformers, which doesn't exist in my personal universe.
So, when do you think you're getting, like, what is the timeline on getting, because I know they started shipping the Transformers machines out to some distributors.
Let me see if my copy of the receipt that Dan sent me will have any idea. Nope, it just says, you'll receive a confirmation email soon.
All right. Yeah, because it takes them a while to get them out and stuff once they get the actual, once they get the trailer out and all that stuff, like that's when things start happening in earnest. For people who probably don't know, I learned this is that like distributors will kind of get a hint ahead of time, or like if you like Transformers had been rumored for a while, as you mentioned, and so you could actually like I know my distributor that I have out here, which I haven't bought a pinball from him in 5 years, but like I could tell him, you know, hey, if this rumor is true, put me on the list. And that's actually how I got my Rush limited edition, because I told him after buying Mandalorian, I'm like, hey, if the Rush rumor is true, I'd love to get a limited edition. So he called me and he's like, okay, I have 5 limited editions. Do you want one? I'm like, yes, here's my money. And so that's how I got a limited edition of Rush. So they kind of have an inkling, and then it's whenever they get them and then they ship them to you, and there's distributors all around the country. To do that. So it's like one of those, I got a guy and he's my guy.
We know some people with Stern, and we do every so often get to talk to Steve Ritchie.
Okay.
He's a good guy, but just don't talk to him at a convention. He's going to be busy.
Yeah.
But we also have a little bit more of a connection now with the Multimorphic folks. Because we're still waiting to hear about Portal. We got to keep all of the panels and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we actually might end up owning 2 P3 tables.
Wow.
So we can keep Portal and Weird Al in all the time.
Nice. Maybe one day I'll get rid of my Mandalorian and get a Multimorphic in his place. Because it's more just room. It's like just space. So one's got to go.
And they can be a pain in the tuchus to do the stuff too.
Yeah. So I will not be here next week because I'm actually going to go see the real Weird Al during this time. So
I'm going again in August.
Yep. The last time he came through was last year, but he was at a festival. So we got the short festival version of the show. We didn't get to see the full version of the show. And this one's the full version.
It's gonna be great.
I just forgot
the name of the clown opener guy. I just remember he was cool.
Puddle's Pity Party.
That was it. Because he didn't freak me out. Normally, I see a clown, I get freaked out. But his set was great.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are seated and ready for it.
He is actually Atlanta native. So Puddles has been known in Atlanta. Like I've never seen him in Atlanta, but I've known of him because of the local Atlanta like indie scene before he got he went on one of the TV shows, I think like America's Got Talent or something. That's when the national news heard of him. But he had been known in the Atlanta scene for a while. So this is kind of like a homecoming for him as well, which means this set'll probably be extra good.
Well, also, just as a throw-in there, you know how Emo Phillips had been an opener for Weird Al for a while? He's on a club tour right now.
Okay.
So, some cool stuff.
Yep. So, I will not be here next week. You will, OLR will be, so you'll get to actually get to start early, or get started on time for once next week. You're welcome. But tonight, what are you going to be talking about?
Transformers. And a sweet little old lady that had something very crappy happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
And also the 13-hour Dead by Daylight live stream of a cabin I watched last night.
Wow.
Well, not all of it. I went to bed.
Your mind watched it.
I stayed up until 4 a.m., but you'll hear more about the dramas.
All right.
The dramas.
More dramas on OLR2DX. It is coming up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Anytime.
So that is it for me. I will not be here next week. I will be back in 2 weeks here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. You may see me earlier because before that show in 2 weeks, there is something happening on Friday. And because I'm not going to be here next week, I will tease it. But there is a new entry into the Keelyverse happening on Friday, June 3rd, June 4th, whatever that Friday is. We have officially requested to become an official co-streamer to that two-hour event that is part of the Keelyverse as Summer Games Fest Live. So you may see me here on the network 2 days earlier. We have officially requested to be a co-streamer. They have never declined us in the past, but you never know. I get declined to do things I've done many times on multiple occasions, and it kind of sucks. Hopefully this is not going to be one of them. So you may see me then, but you will definitely see me back here in 2 weeks here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel for the next episode of the show. You can also find me on Instagram at Bobby Blackwolf, on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackwolf.com, or on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. And that is also where you will find more information about if we do go live on a Friday in 2 weeks. But hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. So thank you so much. Mike Deftery subscribed, saying, let's go, hype. SJR Nomad cheered 250 bits, and Pod Culture cheered 100 bits. And we had a whole bunch of watch streaks. Thank you so much. Tiger Claw on a 15-stream streak. SJRNR Matt, Orange Wright, Pod Culture, and Fifth Dream reached a 30-stream streak, which meant that they have been here the past 30 times we have gone live. That is amazing. That is, like, considering we usually only go live once a week, that is impressive. That's almost that's over half a year. Thank you so much for being here each and every time that we are live. I appreciate it. A lot of us appreciate it. But even if you're only here, like, my watch streak gets broken all the time. It's going to get broken next week because I'm not going to be here. And it was actually broken last week because I don't tune into my own stream. I don't have a watch streak. So thank you so much for being here. But even if you're only here once and you don't have a streak, I really do appreciate it. And before I get any more sappy, I'm going to go ahead and hit this button that plays the music so we can get out of here. Thank you so much. I will see you in 2 weeks. Please stay dry if it is raining in your area, and be safe. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.